Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Very little changes in the NBA when the season ended on Wednesday. What do we read into that? With our next guest contributor for RealGM.com and FanRagSports.com, Keith Smith joins us to talk some NBA here on CBS Sports Radio. How are you, Keith?
I'm doing great. Thanks. How are you?
Good. Appreciate you coming on board. Before we get into the playoffs, let's go with the 14 teams that didn't make it. I did note earlier in the show that there was only one dismissal from Wednesday on, and actually it was before Wednesday. The Magic decided Mr. Hannigan should give up his GM responsibilities down in Orlando. But no other executive changes and no coaching firings since the end of the season. Does that surprise you that we've had 14 teams be told your season's over and done with, and so far not one has made a change in either coach or GM other than Orlando?
Yeah, it does really kind of surprise me. The firing of Rob Hennigan here in Orlando, that's not a surprise. That was kind of an open secret. This is Orlando's actually where I'm located, so we all knew that one was coming. But the remainder is really kind of interesting. But I think it's because a lot of the teams that are bad have been bad for at least a couple years now, and they hired new coaches last year or the year before. So they're kind of in that mode of give these guys a year or two or three and let them figure it out. So we're in an interesting spot where we just haven't seen a lot of change around the league.
Yeah, because usually as soon as season ends, if there are going to be changes made, you want to make them as soon as possible so that the best candidates know you're out there and you're looking for a job, and you let it be known that it's time for a change in that town. But as you say, I guess the teams are willing, despite the fact that they didn't do anything this year, willing to stay the course going forward. The 76ers is an interesting squad, and I didn't think they were going to make any changes when Sam Hinkie decided to walk away last year when he was wasn't fired, but he was demoted, and he decided to walk away himself. The Sixers had an improved season, still fourth worst record in the NBA, but they certainly jumped up from 10 to 28 wins. Do you think that we'll see more of what the drastic measures the Sixers went to, the tanking that they did, looked as a viable option for some teams going forward?
I think we'll see it to some extent. I don't think we'll see a team do it quite to the level that Philadelphia did. I think the NBA made it quite clear that they don't want to see that, where it is really throw multiple years away just to get draft picks. Now, it's not to say it's a bad strategy. I just think the NBA wants to see teams make at least some measure of ability to be competitive. They don't want to see teams just say, you know what, we're going to toss away win after win after win and hope that in the draft we'll hit on guys. I also think Philadelphia things might have gone slightly different for them if a guy like Joel Embiid had been healthy and able to play right out of the gate. It may not have gone on for an extra year or so as it did, but we'll see. It's, you know, what it's more like we're going to see is what teams did in season, which is once they realize our season's done, they'll refocus, get a lot of veterans, and go towards these young guys down the stretch.
People in Philadelphia, my home base, believe that when he hits the floor, Ben Simmons is going to hit it running and be the next Magic Johnson of this millennium, big guy who can handle the ball and make other players around him better. It's probably a little optimistic slant from Sixer fans because they're dying to see the team actually compete. What's the league's belief in how good Simmons can be if he comes back and is healthy next season?
When you talk to most scouts and coaches around the NBA, what they'll tell you is that they believe Simmons can be a good player right out of the gate, but the question is going to be, can he shoot? And on top of that, it's what position does he play? Now, I know Brett Brown says he's committed to playing him at point guard. He's going to use him there. But that seems to be more of a offensive thing versus on defense. I don't know that he's reportedly now 6'11". I don't know that he's going to get down into a crouch and defend 6 foot, you know, 6'1" point guards. I just have a hard time seeing him chase those water butt guys around the court. So most people believe he'll be a good playmaker and rebounder right out of the gate. The only question you continually hear is, can he shoot the ball well enough to stay on the floor at an NBA level?
All right, we're going to hop into the playoffs here with Keith Smith, contributor for Real GM and FanRagSports.com on the NBA. Two games yesterday go to the road team, so you had two favorites winning, two underdogs winning, and damn if the Pacers didn't almost pull off the upset against Cleveland. Is that indicative of the way the playoffs are going to go? Do we have a chance for upsets, or is it favor-ridden like it has been the last couple of years with the top teams continuing to advance?
I think we will see some really close games, especially in the Eastern Conference. No team, including the Boston Celtics, who are the number one seed, really separated themselves all that much from the pack in the regular season. So these teams are grouped together more in terms of talent than they usually are. So I think we'll see that be a tight back and forth matchups there up and down the East. In the West, I do believe Golden State's probably going to roll over Portland. San Antonio looks like they're going to get rid of Memphis fairly easily. And then Utah and the Clippers, that was destined to be a close series, I think, from the beginning. And now you're into the final one of Houston and OKC, and that's the matchup I think a lot of us wanted to see Harden and Westbrook go head-to-head. So I do think we're going to see some good long series here, and they might be full of competitive games.
If you had a vote for the MVP, you giving it to Harden, Westbrook, or someone else?
So I was a Harden guy for just about the whole season until there was about 2 weeks left, and then I saw Westbrook play here in person in Orlando and watched him score 19 points over the final 7 minutes of the game and pick up a triple-double, 57 in total for the night, and just throw that team on his back, and then watched him do it three or four more times throughout the rest of the year. And that flipped me over to Russell Westbrook. But I'm okay if Harden wins because he did have such a phenomenal year. I just Westbrook by a slight edge just due to his continued greatness in the clutch this season.
Damn, you and I are in the exact same position. I was a Harden guy all year long, and the last couple of weeks, Westbrook won me over. We see it exactly the same, and I've said now several times on the air, if I had a vote, I would say, can we postpone this for 2 weeks? Let's see these two go head-to-head in the playoffs, and then I'll know for sure who the MVP is going to be. You don't think Westbrook can get the Thunder past the Rockets, do you?
I don't. I think Houston's going to have just too much offensively. I think what we will see is Westbrook will win a game or two almost on his own and keep the Thunder in the series. But Houston's offense is just so good. I have a really hard time seeing the Thunder being able to contain them for the necessary amount of times to get four wins. I just really see Houston going out there, doing what they've done all year, and moving on to the second round. And then it gets really interesting from there against what will likely be the San Antonio Spurs.
Cavs were able to hold on and win yesterday. LeBron had a real nice game, a couple of big baskets late, although he missed the three that could have salted the game away for him. And in Indiana, C.J. Miles couldn't make that last shot go down. Pacers feel better about their chances after this game, going mano a mano and coming up just short? Or is it that one of those let the air out of the balloon things? If they were going to get an upset and make this series a competitive one, they had it and they let it slip away?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more the second than it is the first. It's great that they were in the game, but the Cavs only shot 14 of 27 from the free throw line. That's probably not going to happen again. Cleveland's defense was a mess, but it's been a mess for most of the second half of the season. So Indiana should be able to get something done there. But when it came down to it, they did get some stops in the fourth quarter to hang in there. But ultimately, we'll see if they can do that again. But I think they missed a golden opportunity to steal one. And if they were going to get one, that was probably it. Cleveland's going to be a little bit more refocused, definitely at the line, than they were in this first game, and we'll see, you know, where it goes. But I think Indiana might have missed their opportunity.
Want to get your thought on one team that I jumped on the bandwagon here right before the playoffs started, and they rewarded me yesterday. Milwaukee impressed me over the last 2 months of the season. Finished 20-10 in their last 30 games. Antetokounmpo is as good a young player as there is in the league. With the fact that the East isn't as determined as it has been in previous years, Cleveland struggling, Boston themselves a little young on playoff experience and the like, I thought the Bucks could do some damage, and sure enough, they got an opening game win. How long could they ride the magic carpet ride? Out of the first round, past the second round, or, Jody, you're putting the cart before the horse?
Yeah, I think Milwaukee does have a chance. I think that it'll be – I picked that one to be Raptors in seven, and I still think Toronto probably will ultimately win the series. They're just a little bit deeper than Milwaukee at this point. But the Bucks' future is really bright. They've got, as you mentioned, they've got Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's just a terrific young player, one of the best in the entire league. Chris Middleton's an extremely underrated guy. Not a lot of national talk about him. Very, very good player. And then Malcolm Brogdon and Thon Maker, they're two rookies. They hung in there and made plays and really did a nice job. The big thing the Bucks challenged the Raptors with was their length. They really got up into the bodies of the Toronto players and then used their length and size to bother their shots all game long. And now you have Kyle Lowry came out today saying, you know, hey, I need to force it a little more. I'm going to have to force some shots up, which that's not a great sign. P.J. Tucker's comment was, these guys are like, yeah, we always lose game one. No big deal. And he's like, no, wait, it is a big deal. This can't be like this. So that's a little worrisome. So I think it will be a tight series, but I just got to stick with the Raptors. Just too much overall talent. But for the Bucks, that's a they can extend a long series or even pull off an upset. That's really one heck of a year so far for them.
The Bucks were able to win on the road game one. As were the Jazz taking on the Clippers in L.A. late night last night. If the Clippers don't get out of the first round, how much change is in the offing? Minimal, pretty significant, drastic, as in they look to do a sign and trade with a guy like Griffin. Maybe they let CP3 walk out the door. If this team that's been on the cusp of making a conference finals now for years and haven't been able to do it, how much does their future sit in the balance here in the next couple weeks?
I do think you're going to see big changes in L.A. if they can't make this work this year. It's with, you mentioned, Griffin and Paul are free agents. J.J. Redick's a free agent. That's three of their five starters. Actually, Luke Richard and Mbamute can be a free agent as well. So four or five. Paul Pierce is going to retire. Their bench is filled with a lot of guys on one-year contracts. So we could see a team that looks drastically different next season. And it's probably one of those things where if you're Steve Ballmer, you're going to look at it and say, we've probably gone as far as we're going to go with this group, and it's time to make a change. And that could even include all the way at the top with Doc Rivers, where he could say, you know, hey, I bought the team. He was here. He's done a good job. But now I want to bring my own people in and run things on the basketball side. And it wouldn't surprise me if we see wholesale changes come out of Los Angeles if they can't figure out a way to come back and knock off the Jazz. And even if they do that, they probably still need to make an even deeper run. But they're likely to run into the Warriors. I mean, we've seen what the Warriors have done to them over the last handful of seasons.
If Doc were to shake loose, team decision to go in a different direction, the hottest commodity on the open market, we just mentioned the fact that no coaches were fired here at the beginning of the offseason with the teams that didn't make the playoffs. There's going to be eight teams eliminated here within the next 10 days that are not going to advance in the playoffs. Doc could certainly sit around and count his money. He's got years to go on his contract, but seems like a pretty motivated guy. Where would Doc Rivers land next if he got his Clippers walking papers?
If he leaves Los Angeles, the Orlando Magic are going to make a huge run at him. He still lives here in the offseason, maintains a house in Winter Park, which is a suburb of Orlando, just outside the city, was the former Magic coach. He's really beloved here in Orlando, what he did with the Magic. And there's no real secret that the Magic would love to bring him back into the fold if and when the opportunity comes up. He would likely come in as the general manager, president of basketball operations, something along those lines, and just do that. He's probably not going to come in and run the personnel side and coach the team, but there's a lot of rumors that that's what he is kind of interested in doing at some point anyway, is just running that side and not continuing to coach. So Orlando would definitely make a big run at him. If not, he will kind of pick and choose, or he could take a year off, do TV, which he's done in the past, and then we could see him resurface somewhere this season after.
We appreciate you up and on board, Keith. Good stuff. Have a happy Easter. Appreciate the insight.
Thanks. You too.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.